An old-fashioned hard Bible preaching is not popular. It never has been popular. It never will be popular, but it's the truth of God's Word. A man that will stand and take up God's people's time and will not tell the truth is a phony. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he needs to be exposed for who he is and for what he is. Satan comes to slander the truth of God's Word. He comes to slander God's righteousness.
Pastor and inspirational Bible teacher Owen Duncan, speaking about how Satan's own words reveal his true character on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. We're glad you can join us as we come to you once again from the fellowship of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If our words reveal our character, then Satan has surely revealed his. Satan's own words are recorded in three instances in the Bible, and on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan examines these words to reveal the devil's true nature, helping us to understand how to defend ourselves against his attacks, while respecting the fact that he is much more powerful than us, but much less powerful than the one who dwells within us. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that Satan has blinded unbelievers so that they cannot discern the truth. In his own words, Satan slanders God's truthfulness by questioning God's word, then slanders God's righteousness by denying God's word, having us believe that God is so good that he will let sin go unpunished. On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan reminds us that God is complete and perfect holiness, and he would cease to be so if sin were not dealt with. Using his own words, Satan exposes himself as the slanderer and liar that he is. He first slanders God before man, then slanders man in front of God. Satan saves his most insidious lies to slander Jesus Christ in attempting to have us believe that all religions lead to God, and that Jesus is merely a good man who simply died a martyr's death. Pastor Duncan illustrates how Satan accuses us before God like a prosecuting attorney. But he reminds us we have a defense attorney in the person of Jesus Christ to represent us when we plead the blood of the Lamb. Jesus himself said that Satan does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Join Pastor Duncan as he explains how Satan's own words reveal his true character.
Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and Job chapter 1. We'll be looking at two of these today, looking at the strategy of the enemy in spiritual warfare. I'm reminded of 1985 when Jose Cabrera, one of the most brilliant matadors in Spanish history, said these words, "Polly, this bull has killed me." The reason being, he had fought a bull in the ring and had won the accolades of the crowd, one of the most popular bullfighters in Spanish history. The bull had grown weak. Finally, he noticed the bull was about to collapse. He plunged one more dagger into the bull. The bull collapsed on the ground. He turned around to receive the accolades of the people, thinking the bull was dead. But the bull got up, charged him, and a horn hit him in the back, punctured his heart, and he died almost instantly. Polly, this bull has killed me. You and I face an enemy that so many times we think that we've dealt with him, but he keeps coming back. You remember I shared with you that in one of his tactics, he's just flat out persistent. The enemy will find a place and he'll go and he'll keep going and he'll keep trying and he'll keep hammering away. That's why we're to constantly be on guard, to be vigilant. To stay vigilant, to stay wary of who he is. We don't have to fear him, but we do need to respect the fact that he is more powerful than we are, but not more powerful than the one who lives in us. And that's a wonderful thought. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe this statement that words reveal character? I mean, you be around a person very long and something slips out or they say something and all of a sudden a high opinion can be lowered. And it can be the other way around. Matthew 12, verse 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, three times in the Bible, Satan speaks. We have his actual recorded words for us here in the Word of God three times when Satan spoke. Now, if words reveal character, an examination of his words will tell us his nature and help us to understand how to defend ourselves. I want you to notice with me, first of all, that Satan slanders God before man. Look at chapter 3 of Genesis. Let's begin with verse number 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Question mark. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." In other words, surely if God is a God of love, he wouldn't do this. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now I want you to notice, first of all, as Satan slanders God before man. First of all, he slanders God's truthfulness. In verse number 1, notice what he said. "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Question mark. Satan puts a question mark after God's word. Satan does not usually come to you and point blank says, just straight up front, that God's word is not true. Most of the time, he's not going to come that way. But he'll come to you and question, "Well, I know the Bible says this, but is this literally what it really means?" And he puts a question mark. Peter James Lee, who was one of the 60 Episcopal bishops who voted to approve the appointment of Gene Robinson as an Episcopal bishop of New Hampshire in that denomination, said this. And of course you know that Gene Robinson was openly gay, declared his homosexuality, left a wife and family and kids. And here's what one of the men that voted to approve him as bishop said: "If we must choose between heresy and schism, always choose heresy. Always choose heresy." In other words, we don't want to cause a schism. We don't want to be a division, a dividing factor. We want to tickle the ears of people. We want to please people. We want to bring the crowds in. I'm going to tell you one thing that Satan does against God's word is to slander it. Jesus said that "I didn't come to bring peace, but what? I came to bring a sword." This feel-good religion that is sweeping our land today, this seeker-friendly churches, and yes, there's some things that we can learn about parking places for visitors, making them welcome when they come into the doors. But so many times we carry it too far when we want them to feel good when we declare the righteousness and the truth of God. I tell you, this feel-good religion is sending folks to hell every day. There is a righteousness to stand on. Jesus said that "I didn't come to bring peace, but to bring a sword." You know, a doctor that won't tell you the truth if you've got a cancer is no good. We have a cancer of the soul, and it's called sin, and God is a righteous and holy God, and that sin has caused a schism, a separation. Paul said that when we came to you, in one of his epistles, when he was writing, he said, "We came to you, declaring to you the very truth of God, the oracles of God, and to some of you, we were the aroma of life, life to life. And to some of you, we were the aroma of death." We stunk up the place, is what Paul is saying. We offended some of you. We made some of you mad because we weren't Dr. Feelgood in the pulpit. We told you the truth of God. Satan comes to slander God's truth and God's word. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "The devil has blinded those who are unbelievers so that they cannot discern the truth." Satan slanders God's truth. But I want to tell you, secondly, that he slanders God's righteousness. Look at verse number 4. "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Now notice how he shifts from questioning God's word to outright denial of God's word. He would have you to believe that God is so good that he will let sin go unpunished. That God is so good that he will not deal with sin. You know what? I'll tell you the honest truth. Have you ever heard folks say that, well, I'd not send my children to hell, and surely if God is a God of love, he'd not send his children to hell either. Some folks have made that statement. Well, I want you to know one thing. God doesn't send his children to hell. But you see, part of this, the smiley, feel good, scratch your back, tickle your ears type of stuff that is coming, a lot of it across the boob tube today. A lot of churches across the land. Let me tell you something. Old-fashioned, hard Bible preaching is not popular. It never has been popular. It never will be popular. But it's the truth of God's Word. A man that will stand and take up God's people's time and will not tell the truth is a phony. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he needs to be exposed for who he is and for what he is. Satan comes to slander the truth of God's word. He comes to slander God's righteousness. These folks that want to say that we're all going to heaven. We're just going different roads. And they just believe in the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. That's a lie that was hatched in hell itself. The truth is this. God is a holy God. And because of his holiness, God must punish sin. Now, if God is not complete holiness, he could let sin go by. But because God is complete and perfect holiness, if he allowed one single sin in his presence, he would cease to be holy. That's why sin has to be dealt with. But thirdly, I want you to notice that Satan slanders God's goodness. We're looking at the nature of the enemy that we face. Look at verse number 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, here's what Satan was saying. He was looking at Eve, and he was saying, Eve, God's holding out on you. You know, God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to enjoy living. Boy, is that not one of the devil's biggest lies today? And people buy into that. Young folks by the boxcar loads believe that lie from the enemy. Let me tell you something. Some people have the idea that God is a cosmic killjoy. That God's like the mama one day that was inside the house. Door was open, the screen door was shut, and little Johnny was out in the backyard somewhere, and she just went to the door and yelled, Johnny, whatever you're doing, stop it. Like God is some overdoting granddaddy in the sky, some cosmic killjoy that wants to come along and take away your joy from you. Let me tell you something. Whether you believe this or not, I'm having fun being saved. It's a joy for me to go through life knowing Jesus. Listen, I would much, much prefer to live my life believing in Jesus and die and find out that it was all a lie than to live my life without Jesus and die and find out it's the truth. Does that make sense? I mean, you men that think rationally, does that not make sense? Second thing I want you to notice, first off, is how Satan slanders God to man. But I want you to notice, secondly, how Satan slanders man to God. Turn over in your Bibles, Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now this is a great mystery. Amen. Now you figure this one out. It's just hearing the Word of God. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was right in the midst of them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and says, you can almost hear him laugh. Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he'll curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So Satan's slandering man to God here. Jesus said this, that Satan does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. John 8:44 says that he is a liar and the father of all lies. Satan told Eve that God is not good, and now he tells God that you're too good. Is that not an amazing thing? Revelation 12:10 calls Satan the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night. In Zechariah chapter 3, we see Satan accusing Joshua before God. In Jude chapter 9, verse 9, we see Satan contending with Michael the archangel over the body of Moses. So he is seen in the Bible as prosecuting attorney. In other words, can you picture the huge courtroom scene? You remember in the Old Testament where it says, come, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. It's an attorney word. It's a litigation term. It's a courtroom scene that God is portraying here. And in the Bible, we see Satan portrayed as a prosecuting attorney. But you know what? In every court of law, there's a plea that you can enter, and there's an attorney that can represent you. You know what our plea is? And they overcame him, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb. That's our plea. That's the only plea we have. But glory to God, that's enough. But we also, when we enter our plea, but the blood of the Lamb, we also have an attorney to represent us. You know who that attorney is? The Bible says that when he went back to glory, he ascended and sat down at the Father's right hand. Now, I want you to, you don't need to follow me there unless you just want to. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 31, listen to this. What shall we then say to these things? Paul has been talking about all kinds of tough things that we go through in life. What are we going to say about these things? He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay a charge against God's elect? In other words, who's going to bring a charge against somebody who's truly been born again and saved? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who does what? Who also makes intercession for us. And then he wraps it up this way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? And of course the implication is no, no, no. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? Certainly not. Or peril? No. Or sword? No. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, the contending with the enemy, the battles we fight, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor anything to come in the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. In other words, I think he pretty well sums it up. In country boy language, ain't nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There is a prosecuting attorney, but glory to God, there is a defense attorney. And that day I went to the cross of Calvary, and I fell on my knees and my face before the King of Glory, and I submitted myself to his authority. I surrendered all my rights to him. And I said, in my hand no price I bring. There's no good thing in me. I deserve to be in hell. But you said if I came, you'd forgive me. I did, and he did. He put his Holy Spirit inside of me. He wrote my name down in glory. He sealed me against the day of redemption. And he says that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That is the judgment of Christ. And come hell or high water, Satan can throw everything he wants to against me. I am in Jesus Christ because I have a plea, the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. Carla Faye Tucker in 1983 helped to kill two people with a pickaxe And she was so animalistic in it that she laughed the whole time she was killing them to death with a pickaxe. She was found guilty and put in prison. And on death row, Carla Faye Tucker became a born-again Christian. And everybody that was around her said, you can't question the legitimacy of her conversion experience. She became the first woman in Texas to be executed since the Civil War era. As she lay strapped to a gurney, they were about to give her the lethal injection. She delivered her final message. Listen to what she said. She said, I'm going to be face to face with Jesus now. I love all of you very much. I'll see you all when I get there. No matter how black your sin, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse it and make you as white as snow. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching. I'd never pick up this Bible again. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what you're engaged in right now. You come to Jesus in submission and repentance and brokenness and give your rights to Him and He'll save you. And He'll make you new. No matter how inhuman your nature, the power of the Holy Spirit can transform you from bitterness and all of the ugliness to tenderness and faith in Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you finally that Satan slanders Jesus. Perhaps the most insidious lies the devil tells is about Jesus Christ. Charles Stanley suggests several ways in his book where Satan lies about Jesus Christ. One of the lies that Satan tells about Jesus is Jesus really isn't the only way to God. In spite of the fact that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, there was a well-known preacher on television that was interviewed, I was told recently, by Larry King. Larry King asked him, said, is Jesus the only way to heaven? He said, Billy Graham says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And you know what this well-known preacher that's selling books like hotcakes and thousands of people coming to listen to him said? He said, well, I didn't say that. No, you didn't. God Almighty said that in His Word. Jesus said, I am not a way, a truth, or a life that you can come down and choose like a cafeteria line. That if you be a good Buddhist and you'll go to heaven, or if you be a good Islam follower or whatever, follow Muhammad, you'll go to heaven, or if you follow this ism or whatever it is, you'll end up in heaven. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm a cafeteria line. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man. And I believe no man is pretty exclusive. Amen? No man can come to the Father in heaven except through me. Another lie that the devil tells about Jesus is that all religions are the same. They all lead to God. We're all going to heaven just by different roads. I remember hearing years ago, one of our professors said that he was on a tour over to somewhere over in the Mideast, the Holy Land. But anyway, he said the guide was showing him around. He said there were several different religions represented in the tour group. And he said, the guide made this statement. He said, well, you know, we're all going to heaven just by different roads. And he said, he looked around to see if anybody would challenge it. He said, nobody said a word. He said, so I did. He said, I said, excuse me, sir. No, we're not all going to heaven on different roads. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Ergun Canner shares in his testimony. Boy, don't you love that brother. Man, I got a DVD on him. One of these days I'll be able to let you. At our pastor's meeting this past week in Nashville, the walls fell in on us. He's just awesome. Ergun Canner, converted Muslim, tells about the time that right after 9/11, when this guy was saying that some pray to Allah, you know, some pray to Muhammad, some pray to Jehovah God, like there's no difference. Friend, I want to tell you, Allah, Muhammad will send you to hell. It's a lie. That's not politically correct, but it's truth. You see, My obligation is to share the truth with you. I'm getting old. I am. I'm getting old. And one day I'm going to have to stand before God. And He's the one I've got to answer to. How faithful was I to His Word? All religions are the same. They all lead to God. No, they don't. Just believe whatever you want to believe and everything's going to turn out okay in the end. No, it won't. But then another lie that Satan tells about Jesus is that Jesus was just a good man who died a martyr's death. It's not necessary to really believe that He was actually the Son of God. Just do the good works that He told us to do. My, my, my. You believe that, and you know what you do? You make Jesus out to be a liar. You might as well stand up and say the words, "Jesus, you're a liar," if you believe that. Because Jesus said that I and my Father are one. If you want to know what the Father's like, look at me. He said there's no other way to heaven but through me. Now, either He was lying or deliberately deceiving you, or He was exactly who He was. I want to tell you, I've known thousands of people over the years that have trusted Him, submitted to Him, and they will stand. The testimony of the ages is that Jesus was not mere man. Never, never get the idea that Satan may ultimately win. According to Hebrews 2:14, Jesus came that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The word destroy does not mean to obliterate. You know what it literally means? It means to render null and void, of no effect. To render the devil helpless. In Colossians 2:15, it says that at the cross, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. In other words, Satan and his demons have been disarmed. They've been stripped. They've been put to shame already. Jesus made a spectacle of them, subduing them and triumphing over them. 1 John 4:4 says that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You know, in generations past, smallpox was a tremendously feared disease. It killed hundreds of millions of people and scarred and blinded many more. It was highly infectious. You know how you catch smallpox? Just be in the same general area with somebody else that's got smallpox and breathe their breath. That's the way you got it. The exhaled breath of an infected person. At one time, there was no cure for smallpox. During the Middle Ages, smallpox epidemics raged across Asia, Africa, and Europe. And they say that in many wars, more soldiers died from smallpox than did in the fighting, in combat. In 1796, an English physician named Edward Jenner developed the first smallpox vaccine. I want you to listen to this. The vaccination soon spread around the world. Many countries made it a law that you had to be vaccinated. The health effort was a great success. In the 1940s, smallpox was a complete eradication from Europe and North America. In 1967, only 30 countries still had smallpox. The World Health Organization began an aggressive program in Africa, Asia, and South America to completely eradicate smallpox from off the face of the earth. Vaccination teams went from village to village, vaccinating anyone they could find. In 1970, only 17 countries still suffered from the disease. In 1978, the World Health Organization announced that the world's last known case of naturally occurring smallpox was in Somalia in October of 1977. In 1980, they come out and formally announce that smallpox has been eliminated. But stocks of the smallpox virus were stored in freezers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. In September of 1994, a committee from the World Health Organization unanimously voted to destroy the last stock of the smallpox virus on June 30th, 1995, exactly almost 10 years ago. Public health's greatest triumph to be completely eradicated from the earth. It's hard to imagine that such a deadly disease could be completely annihilated. But let me tell you something else. It's hard to imagine a world with no sin, a world with no disease, a world with no ugliness. But you know what? There was something started before the sun even unveiled its face, the plan of God from the ages past, that in eternity past, there was a point in time when Jesus gave His life on the cross of Calvary, and it's culminating somewhere, and one day it will be completely eradicated. And hey, you know who the winners are? Read about them in the last chapter. The winners are those that have come to the cross of Calvary and submitted to Jesus Christ. That's the nature of the enemy we face. He's a slanderer. He'll slander God to man. He'll slander man to God. He'll slander the Lord Jesus Christ, placing doubt and question marks on God. But I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would not dare leave these doors today. I wouldn't walk through these doors without settling the most important issue of your life. Will you stand quietly and reverently? Father God, as we bow our heads and open our hearts to You in this invitation time, ask You to move in our hearts to speak to us. Father, for those within this room right now that does not have the complete and perfect assurance of knowing that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that You'll trouble them and, Father, not let them leave this building right now, this very moment with Your presence, that You'll bring conviction to their hearts that they need to surrender, to submit to You and to Your authority over their lives. Father, You and You alone have the right to rule our lives. You are Lord. Father, it's such a joy to know that we've bowed the knee, so many of us today, where it counts on this side of the veil. Now, God, speak to that one that may be nearest to hell today. Someone, Father, that may leave this building and never, ever again be troubled by the Holy Spirit. Someone who may leave this building and never again have an opportunity to say yes to You. I pray You'll lead them to come. Father, there are others today that have various needs. Some, Father, have broken hearts. Some have problems and difficulties that only You can answer and deal with. And so, God, we pray that You lead them to come and slip out of their seats and make their way to this altar. Father, there are some that want to come and intercede for somebody they love, someone they know, a family member, a friend, and they want to come and pray for them. God, lead them to slip out and make a way to this altar. Father, thank You now. Remind our people the doors of this church are always open to receive members. In Jesus' name, amen.
Donald Owens, leading the congregation in a hymn of invitation, as Pastor Duncan illustrated how Satan's own words reveal his true character on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this program has ministered to you in some way today. We appreciate and enjoy hearing from our listeners. You can reach the Liberty Pulpit by writing to Post Office Box 1000, Ellenboro, North Carolina, 28040. A cassette or a compact disc of this and previous Liberty Pulpit broadcast for your personal or church library can be obtained by writing to the same address. $3 to cover our production and mailing costs would be appreciated, but is never necessary when requesting a copy. Write to us at Post Office Box 1000, Ellenboro, North Carolina, 28040. And now on behalf of Pastor Owen Duncan and everyone at Liberty Baptist Church, and until we meet again, may God richly bless you.